Thank you, Jesus. This song is How Great Is Our God. If you know, please sing along.
Our God, sing with me, how 43rd division of Psalms, and I'm going to skip through it, but I'm going to come back and go through it more thoroughly. Amen. So we're going to read verse 1, and then we're going to skip down and read verses 7 through 10, and then we'll come back. Okay? Verse 1 of Psalm 143, and then we're going to go down and read verses 7 through 10, and then we'll come back and go through the whole Psalm. Amen?
Amen.
So we all have it?
Amen.
Amen. Let us start. Verse 1 reads, hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplication. In thy, Lord, thank you. In thy faithfulness, answer me. And in thy righteousness, hear me. Lord, when I pray, hear me. Speak. O Lord, my spirit fell. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For in thee you are. Yes, Lord. Who else can we trust but in God? Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. For I lift up my soul unto thee, Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will. For thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. May the Lord have a blessing to read of his word in the church. One of those times when David is going through, you know, David has several songs that he wrote when he was going through. Yeah, we don't know at which point this was. We don't know if this is when he was fleeing from Saul, you know, because Saul was constantly after David, and David had done no wrong. Or we don't know if it was when Absalom was in pursuit of his own father's kingdom. Nevertheless, David was going through. Psalm 143, verse 1 again, he says, hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplication. In thy, Lord, we bless your name for being faithful.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Why say God is faithful. And he will never allow us to be tempted above that which we are able. But he will, with the temptation, make it way to what? So God is what?
Faithful.
People may let you down. I may let you down. But God will never let us down because God is
faithful.
So what David is dealing with God, he said, Lord, because you are faithful, I need you to answer me and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant. For in thy sight shall no man live. Be tough. He said, Lord, if you can start judging me, he said, you're going to destroy the whole world. Because they know I'm right in your eyes, right? So he's dealing with God, and he said, God, just remember, I'm still just flesh. He said, for the enemy has persecuted my soul. So what does David do when he's in need? He prays to who?
God.
And then he said, Lord, in thy faithfulness. Lord, because you don't change. Lord, because you promised to be with me forever until the end. He said, Lord, I need you to answer. I've been persecuted. I've been affected. Lord, I need your help. He says, the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has spit my life down. He was going through. He said, my life is down level to the ground. He has made me to dwell in darkness as though that I've been long dead. Therefore is my spirit. David said, I don't even have spit. David was he said, listen, I'm down low, I'm in darkness, he said, even my spirit is over within me. He said, my heart within me is desolate. He said, but I remember the days of old. I meditated on all thy words. I mused on the works of thy hand. I stretched forth my hand unto thee, my soul thirsted. David was in a corner of desperation. Amen. And all the way he can explain it, he said, it's like a man in a dry land. A man in a desert. He said, Lord, my soul thirsted after thee. And he said, now take a pause and think about that. David was going through He said, but Lord, I know I can depend on thee. He goes on to say, hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit dangles on through. He said, my spirit is over. He said, I'm at the point of wanting to give up. Amen? Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. He said, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. Now David is praying to who? God. Right? So first he gives out his supplication. Then he gives his prayer. Then he takes a pause. He takes a Selah. Now he reminds God, he said, now I need to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. He said, Lord, I'm at the point now, I don't even know which direction to take. He said, but I need you to cause me to know the way that I should walk. For I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. He said, I flee to thee and hide. But then he said, Lord, may all of this teach me.
Yes.
And all of judgment. How about maybe the decision that pleases me, but making the right decision. Circumspectly, once again, meaning not to deviate. It means to walk carefully. It means to walk diligently. It means to give your full attention to God's word, so that it would all come short. So he says, teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe thine commandments. Before I was afflicted, he said, I went astray. Amen. Before I had this problem, I was going the wrong direction. So God used my affliction to get me back on track. We serve a mighty God. And God uses our trials to teach us. God allows us to go through hardships to teach us. Well, Lord, what are you teaching us? To do his will. Amen. So he goes on to say, he said, before I was afflicted, I went. He said, I went astray. But a second chance. But now I have kept my word. Thou art good and doest good. He said, teach me thy statutes. The proud have forced a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my heart of my heart. I will keep your word with the part that I like. I'm going to keep it with my what? My whole. I went through something. Through that trial I went through, I learned to depend on God. Through that trial I learned that I can't be half-heartedly serving God, but I got to keep his word with my whole heart. Amen? He goes on to say that all right, gotcha. Their heart is as set as grace. You know, I laugh when I would read this one. You know? But you know, God has a real good sense of humor. How can their heart be fat like grease? It's like, what? I really don't know. I'm laughing to myself. Fat as grease. Everybody says, what in the world is fat grease? Ain't fat back. That we put a string link that we put in some cabbage. But what do you mean? He said their heart are dull, callous, and insensitive. Fetish grease means just like it has no feelings. It's dull, it's callous, it's insensitive to God. He said their hearts are what? Fetish grease. But I'm not going to be callous and sensitive when it comes to the leading of the Lord. It goes on and says, Lord, lead me all the way. Yeah. Lord, lead me all the way from earth to glory. Lord, I want you to lead me all the way. Then verse 71 says, it is good for me. It's good. He said, now, before I was afflicted, I went up straight. But in my affliction, I came back to God. So he said, it's good that I had been afflicted, that I might learn thy Lord is good. It's good that I had hard times. Because I learned that my dependency and my sufficiency is not in myself. But my dependency was on God's word. Don't have a fat, greedy heart. Now don't call somebody fat, greedy. That might be some fat, might be some fight. I'm just telling what the Bible says, right? Fat, greedy, right? I can tell some stories, but I don't know some stories. Well, I'm going to stay on. I'm not calling that one. God said, don't be callous and insensitive. We want to always be in tune with God. And then verse 72 says, that law, the law of thy mouth, is better unto me than any silver and gold. So tonight, how many of us really treasure God's word? How many of us treasure his law? So he says in Psalm verse 10, Lord, teach me thy way. He said, for thou art good. Amen. And thy spirit is good. He said, because you're good, you're going to lead me in a path of uprightness. That means whatever it is. You might go through some hard times, but finally God's going to lead us on some level ground. But you got to learn from whatever you're going through. God is using everything that we go through as a teaching moment. Before we go to the Psalms 86, go to Titus chapter 2. Let's go to Titus chapter 2 for 1 minute. Before we go to Psalms. So God allows us to go through things to do what? Teach us. Right? God allows us to go through hardships to teach us. David was at the point of his wanting to completely surrender and give up. But he said, Lord, in my affliction, teach me. In my hardship, teach me. And in the end, you'll know if you learn, because if you hold on to God and the truth, you learn. But if you go away from God, you're going to go through it again. Amen. Because God desires that we might learn. Titus chapter 2, verse 7. Amen. Now, what we're trying to do tonight is learn whose will? God's will. God's will is always diametrically opposed to our will. Our will is always based on the flesh or our life experiences. God's will is always based on the truth. Our will is based on life experiences, what we're going through. God's will is always based on the truth. Amen. Verse 7 of Titus chapter 2. He says, in some things, in a few things, in the things that you like, in what? What does all things leave out? Just curious. All things count as what? Everything. So God is using our circumstances to teach us in everything that we go through. If you go back, for those that have been alive for whatever period of time, everything you went through was a learning experience. God was teaching you something if you looked at it the right way. But if you look at it, as though you were a victim, a woe is me, you have not learned. David said, I had gone astray. And just think about how many of us may have gone astray. But then we got so far away from God, we couldn't feel God. We couldn't see God. We couldn't feel the Lord touch us. Then in our affliction, we learned that we needed God. So God uses our hardships to teach us. God uses our trials to train us. The Bible even said, train up a child in the way he should go. That train means to discipline. So God uses our trials to discipline us so that we can learn his word and follow him. Amen. So he says, in all things, showing myself a pattern of what kind of work?
Good work.
Good work. Now, if somebody makes you mad, or somebody angers you, do you have to still show good works? I'm just asking. Because it says in one thing, even driving down the road if somebody makes you mad. So, like the other day, my brother Timmy came up for a minute, so I had to take him up the lane. So we go up the lane, and my lane is running out, so I turn my turn signal on to get in the next lane. This guy's way by, he's fine, right? So I'm pulling, this guy cuts in front of me. It's like, it didn't even make sense. So we get to Sam, I park right next to him, and he park right next to me. Okay. I said, Timmy, I'm going to keep walking because I don't want to look at this guy. You know, first of all, well, I can't say that because anybody got foreigners?
Yeah.
Anybody out there?
Yeah.
And foreigners can't drive. I had to handle this up. The guy was all in space land somewhere. I don't even know where he's going. But listen, the guy literally ran us off the road and cut back in front of us. Like, what the? Timmy said, what is he doing? I said, I don't know. You know what? When you're driving, even driving, you still got to show yourself a pattern of good When I got out of the car, I said, Tim, I'm not going to even look at him. I said, that is the knucklehead that you're bringing. I mean, I didn't purposely do it, but we parked right next to each other. But that was a teaching moment for me, because we have to learn whatever we are, whatever we do. God is always watching us. That does not excuse us to do wrong. So he said, in all things, showing myself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, that means honesty. Gravity means you got to be honest. If you lie to yourself, is that honest? That means y'all can answer that. I'm asking y'all. If you lie to yourself, is that honest? If you misrepresent the truth, is that honest? He said, but if you want to show yourself a pattern of good work, you have to be honest. And then after you're honest, you have to be sincere. You cannot be a pattern of good work if you're not honest. Honesty is, I'm not going to tell you one thing to misguide or to deceive you or to use guile for deception so that I can have my way, but I'm going to be honest. That is a pattern of what kind of work? Sound speech that cannot be. Your speech has to be seasoned with grace. Amen. When we speak, we never want someone to bring you come back with a word of condemnation for something that we said. Amen. That he that is of the contrary form may be ashamed, having what? Now listen, it's kind of, it ain't that many people. Y'all gotta help me out. Oh, yeah, okay. Having no evil thing to say. Right. So what you say, if you don't handle it properly, it's gonna come back as a bad report. Amen? Exhort servants to be obedient unto their all masters, as to please them well and
always.
Now, we know that slavery at that time was permitted, so he's telling them, he said, even though you're saved, your master's saved, you still have to respect that position. So he says, sure thyself in what? All things. Being obedient and to please them well and even if they ask you to do something that's wrong, they don't even say nothing back. All right, that's where we get lost right there. Right? Because when somebody says something to me, I have a right to say it back. Not if you're a pattern of good works. Not if you don't want that to have to come back on you. Right? So you don't want to, even if they say something unkind, you're not supposed to answer again. Not prolonging. This means to be careful. It means to steal small amounts. You know, like some people, they don't pay all their tithes, so they steal a little bit. Somebody said, ouch. That's pilfering because you are a servant. God is our master. So if you don't pay your tithes, you are, so somebody said, well, I was supposed to give $100, but I gave $88.50 because I have $12.50 that I have to take care of. God understands. He said, not per month. That means to steal just a little bit, right? Because we don't rob from God, we steal. It's impossible for a man to rob God because it's impossible for us to steal from God. Because God sees everything. So what we do is we rob God. Well, how do we rob God? We go right in his face and say, hey, I took it. What you going to do about it? All right. That's it. Y'all get too quiet. Right? But not purloining. You're not supposed to steal from God. Somebody said, well, I only took a little bit. If it belongs to God, give it to God. What belongs to God belongs to who? Don't you touch what belongs to God. That's why God got upset with many of the kings, because they were taking what belonged to God and using it for themselves. Amen? And so he says, not prolonging, but showing all good faithfulness. If you steal, that's not faithful. If you take what belongs that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in
all things.
He said, in all that for the grace of God, that what? Bringing salvation has appeared
all men.
Well, you're going through all that, and God is using His grace to do what? Teach us. Whatever you experience, whatever test, whatever trials, whatever temptation, God is using that to teach us. And denying, first thing God is trying to teach us of what we're going through, you got to get rid of the ungodliness. You can excuse it away, but God will not excuse it away. Denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live how? Soberly, righteously, and godly in the world to come. We got to live godly how? In the present world. Amen. And that's what our fellows go to Psalm 86. So God's grace teaches us. Well, what is it teaching us, to be honest? To be sincere, to be faithful, and to be truthful. God's grace teaches us to be honest. You cannot misrepresent the truth and be honest in any phase or any fashion of the way. You cannot act like you're a part of something and you're not sincere. Because God's grace is teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, all right? Psalm 86, verse 1 reads, David, once again, this is another one of those prayers when David is really going through. He says, bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. David is going through. Preserve my soul, for I am, he said, not that I'm the holy like God, but I'm trying to be holy. Oh God, my God, save thy servant that trust is in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry to thee, Lord, every day. And one thing, I think it's Psalm 55, he said, morning, night, and noon will I pray. David was going through. He said, I got to get a hold of God. Amen. So he prays daily. He said, rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and he said, I messed up, but Lord, you are good. And you're ready to forgive, God will give you a second chance. And plenteous in mercy unto all them that he said, give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplication. In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt. He said, I'm going through, but I'm going to keep calling on God. He said, because, and I, how are you going to call on him? How? Every other day? Some days? Well, how? Daily. Amen. He said, in the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither any of their works, neither are there any works like unto thy work. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee. O Lord, shall glorify, and Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art, we serve a great God. He said, for thou art great and doest wondrous thing. Thou art God alone. He said that through all that love, you know what I need you to do is teach me. He said, after he does all that, he said, Lord, I still need you to teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth, unite my heart to fear thy name. So David is poor and needy, but he said, Lord, I still need you to teach me. So in our afflictions, in our hardships, in our hard times, can we still allow God to teach us? Even in our afflictions, even though we may be worn out, we should say, Lord, teach me. Well, what do you want God to teach us? to do his will. Now, the Hebrew word for teach is yara. I think it's Y-A-R-A-H. And David is saying, teach me. Now remember, David is a man of what? War. David knows how to fight. Now this word teach, yara, for teach me to shoot an arrow and shoot it straight. I said, oh, what does that have to do with teaching? Think about it. The word he used for yara is to shoot an arrow. He says, teach me to shoot an arrow. You know why he said, teach me to shoot an arrow? Because he said, I need instructions to shoot properly. Amen. Anybody else shot a bow? I've shot one of those bows. What? You know what I mean? No, cross. Man, they can tear you up if you don't shoot it right. It will wear you out. And you can kill somebody with a crossbow, but I think it's worse than, almost as bad as a bullet. If you don't handle that properly, you can hurt yourself and somebody else. So what David is saying, he said, Lord, I need you to teach me your word so I can follow the instructions to do it properly so that I don't hurt myself
and somebody else.
So that's what he said. He said, teach me. Even though it's to shoot an arrow, he's using it in the sense of, I need to be in control. I need to do it properly, amen? So David is asking God to teach him. Teach him what? Teach him to do thy will. And we'll close out in Psalms 27. Tonight our whole heart's desire should be to know God's will and to do it. The Bible says, be not unwise, but what? Understand. How many of us understand the will of God for our lives? Not think, not guessing, because you have to know God's will. What does God want you to do? How do you carry yourself? How do you handle yourself? How do you represent God? That is God's will. If you don't know, then the thing is, Lord, teach me thy will. Amen? Psalms 27, let's go to verse 7. This is another one of David's Psalms. Amen? Verse 7 reads, hear, O Lord, when I cry. One thing about David, David was not afraid to cry to God. David was not afraid to cry to God. Actually, after this, we'll go to 1 Samuel chapter 30. I'm going to show you something. David did not go on his instincts. Because our instincts will always cause us to do something wrong. Because our instincts are based on our human nature, whereas to be led by God is based on the divine nature. Our instincts are based on human nature. To be led by God is dependent upon a divine nature. So it says, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. He said, now when thou sayest, seek ye, my mind said, my thoughts said, he said, but my heart said. You know, when you get it in your heart, that's where the Bible says, that word that I hear when, that I might not. The problem with so many that are in church and out of church and used to be in church, is they never got God's word in their heart. Because that word that I hear in my heart, and it won't allow you to. The Bible says, when we were born, corruptible seed, but we were born of a good seed, which is the Word of God. So David is saying, Lord, my heart said, thy face, Lord, will I see. He said, hide not thy face. Lord, even if I'm going through, I still need you to be close to me. Put not thy servant away in anger. He said, thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither. O God of my salvation. David said, even if I get to the point of my mother and my father, that's why you got to have a relationship, because when the human relationship fails, then the Lord will. But you have to have a relationship with God. Your heart has to follow after God for God to pick you up. Amen? He goes on to say, teach me By way, David constantly asked God to teach. What? Lord, instruct me to do it right so I don't hurt myself or anybody else. Also, when he says, teach me to shoot properly. When you shoot, now he uses the term for shooting a bow, right? Because when you shoot at a mark, if you miss it, sin is what? Missing the mark. So David said, Lord, teach me to shoot so I can shoot accurately and straightly so I can hit the mark. Because when I shoot and miss the mark, I sin. So David is asking God, I said, I need you to instruct me. I need you to constantly teach me. I don't know how many times, I forgot how many times David says in the song for God to teach me. He said, teach me thy way, O Lord. Then as you teach me, do what? Right? So as God is teaching us, he does what? He doesn't teach us and leave us to run a bump to do what we want to do. So he teaches us, he said, lead me in aid. You know what he should? The Bible says the way of holiness is so plain on even aid. What? Who should enter therein? So God is teaching us, and God teaching us, God won't help us to make a mistake, because if he's teaching us and we're shooting for the mark, like if I'm shooting for that clock and I hit over on this wall, I did what? That means I was not trained properly how to shoot. I did not receive proper instruction. Amen. So David, all once and over again, he asked God to teach him. He said, leave me in a clean path because of my enemies. Amen. For what? He said, deliver me not over to the will of my enemies, because everywhere you live, you have a false witness. But if you allow God to teach you, their lies won't affect you. Right? If God is leading you, when people say stuff, you'll say, you know what? I don't have no time for that. My focus is on God. I'm not going to be distracted by the lies. Amen. For false witnesses are risen up against me, and what? Such as be thou cruelty. But then, but David really considered, he said, I had fainted. Unless I believe to see the goodness of the Lord. I know a lot of people say, I'm going to get it up there. He said, I believe to see it in the land of the what? In the land of the living. Wait on the
Lord.
So God is teaching you to do what? Wait. Not to run, not to do what you want to do. Wait on the Lord and be a good courage, and he shall. But wait, I say on David, not only asked, but David embodied God leading him. And we'll close this in 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter. Okay? This is a time when David was fleeing from Saul, who was after him as always. Right, I go to 1 Samuel 30 and verse 1. I just use that. That's big in my life. All right. So David has, he's joined forces with the Philistines. And the Philistines are going back to fight against Israel and Saul. So the Lord of the Philistines, now the Philistine, remember, Goliath was the champion of the who? He was the champion of the Philistine. So all the Philistines knew David, because David destroyed their champion. So David gets to the point where he has to flee from Saul. And the only place, same place he could ever save David was with the enemy. So the only way David could be saved was Saul hunted him like a wounded warrior all over. He said, the only place I can be saved is with the enemy. You know, David was powerful, right? How you gonna go to the enemy's camp and live with them and they won't touch you? Right? That's God's favor. Right? So David is with the Philistine, and they're going to fight against Israel. And the one king, what David was living, brings David with him. And the Lord said, wait a minute, he can't fight with us. He said, that's David. Don't you know who he is? He said, yes, he's been faithful. He said, well, what better way for him to get back in favor with the king of Israel than in the middle of the battle, he'll turn on us. He said, send David and his men back. And David was upset. person disobedient. Remember, God told us all to what? Destroy the Amalekites and their king Agag. So if Saul had been obedient, they could never have invaded what David was. So they were there because of one man's disobedience. So that disobedience caused them to rise up, and they went and burned Ziklag where David was at. Alright, so that brings us up to this point. That's a shortcut, alright? So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with them lifted up their voice and wept. Listen, there was big burden, everything. There was nothing left. It's like you leave, you got a city, you come back, and nothing's there. Your family and everything is gone, right? Until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive. Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was
greatly distressed.
He was what?
Greatly
distressed. Right? Here I am, God, doing my best, doing all I can, and look what you allowed to happen to me. So David was in distress. For the people, his own people were talking about stoning him. I think that we need to have a David spirit. Because the soul of all the people was grieved. Every man for his son and his daughter, but David? How?
In the Lord.
So David is in a distressful situation. David is a man of war. So David, don't you ask God for anything. What you do to David, David will do to you. That's how Nabal's wife became his wife, because David didn't go to Nabal to ask for something, and David said, Nabal said, who is David? David told his soldiers, he said, arm your weapons. He said, put on your sword. He said, today that man will be a dead man. Right? And when they went together, when Nabal heard that David was coming, by the way, you know what Nabal's name means? Yeah, look it up. No, I tell you, it means fool. His name, when he heard David was coming, he had a heart attack. So his heart turned to a stone. Right, he died, so David took his wife. Right, so when something happened to David, David's instinct was, you give it to me, I'm going to get you back. Amen. Go to the next verse. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me the ephod. And even Abiathar, whoever he is, brought thither the ephod to David. And David learned all of his hardships. It's time to do what? Even though he was distressed, he had been taught along the way. What to do? I do in distress when I do when I'm down? Inquire. Instinctively, he could have gone after the Amalekites, but he inquired of God. We can't be driven by instinct. We have to ask God. So he inquired of God. Go. Where you going? David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this? True. Now, like I said, his instinct normally would be to go after them. But God had taught something to David. David now knows, I can't do anything unless God gives me permission. I need God, even though I know I can do it because I'm a man of war, but I need to get God's mind. Amen? Shall I overtake them? And he asked them, saying, pursue, for thou shalt overtake them, and without fail, recover some of the stuff you lost. Somebody said, I've been trying to recover stuff. Have you been asking God? Because if you ask God, if God says pursue, you're going to recover all. So what do we ask God? Teach me to do the, when do you need God to teach you the best? When you're really going through. When you're really under. When you're really pressed down. When the enemies are all around. you after one attack after another attack, that's when it's time to stand still and say, Lord, what will thou have me to do? In this situation, Lord, can we say, teach me? Not to do what I want to do, not to do what my instincts tell me to do, but teach me to do as we all said. Tonight, our prayer should be every day, Lord, teach me. Now, I don't understand everything I go through, but I ask God to teach me in what I'm going through. Use it as a teaching moment. Amen. We need to put down flesh. If ever we should embody what John the Baptist said, John the Baptist said, he, meaning God, must, and we must. Paul said, I die daily. As a church, God, we need to allow God to use, as the elders and ministers and all the words come forward, we need to allow God to use our hardships, our distresses, and our hard times to do what? Teach us. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us. God uses his grace to teach us. What does it teach us? That his grace is a very present help in our time of need. But in order for him to teach us, we have to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. God is using our circumstances to teach us. Allow God to speak to you. Allow God to work through you. Evangelist, first name.